Hi, and welcome to Apple's second audio blog post of all time. Take two, as my computer decided to freeze whilst recording it the first time. And so I'm going to have to repeat everything I've already said the first time, because even though Audacity did recover it, some of it got jammed and scrambled. If I got interruptions, it's because people messaging me, so yeah, that's all specifically about that. I'm going to go answer someone on Messenger now, and I'll be back in a second to start my audio blog. Okay, let's see, where was I? Well, I'll start at the top and go the other way around this time, because I can. Data entry is boring, especially when you're doing stats, but it's all collected now. I collected all the data I was required to collect, and then uploaded that, and Matt's done a lot of organising the data and data process. Thanks, Matthew Trappett, for that. Thank you, Matthew Trappett and Carl Warwick and Chris Savini. You're very good team members, both for MAB 101 and MAB 312. Linear algebra for the win. Whilst stats data entry is boring, hopefully the running the tests and running up the report for it won't be so boring, and we'll do well in that and have fun in that endeavour. I had quite a rude awakening and an unexpected encounter at Roma Street Station whilst coming home. I had to lug my big heavy bag down the hill, and that was fun because I missed the train I was supposed to catch, and well, anyhow, I ended up bumping into someone, I think David his name was, from high school, and I'd forgotten a lot of my memories of high school because I had a hellish time. In fact, I know it as hell school. And he didn't really know me. He was an acquaintance, and he had these expectations of me, and he knew people that knew me, so he had expectations and stereotypes of me, and he saw my hair, and he went, "What the fuck?" And he got to talking. He's doing first year law and cruising through it. Mentioned my GPA, he got confused. Did he expect I'd be on sixes and what else? I'm currently on 4 2/3, because I just missed out on passing MAB 220, which I'm repeating this semester coming up. So hopefully I pass it this time, and yeah. But that kind of went came as a shock to me, because not only was it an unexpected encounter, he had all these stereotypes and expectations of me, and yeah, I wonder how that fits in, and that put a number of things on my shoulders, pushed harder on the things that were on my shoulders than already. So that was quite rude, but hopefully I can get his MSN and continue talking to him via Jai. But Jai, you owe me a chess game, please. Next thing I'm going to talk about is proactivity in relationships. I'm probably only going to talk very briefly about the topics I've got, otherwise I'll bore some people to death, and they know how long my writing can go on, so I don't want to bore too many people to death. Or I do. Anyways, proactivity in relationships. I've noticed that with relationships, in order to have a successful one, you can't just have one and then leave it, because like a pot plant or a flower, if you don't water it, if you don't nurture it like a baby, it'll die. And an interesting thing that I've come across is this proactivity in relationships, and you've got active and passive and mutual and balance and whatnot else, but I found it amazing. I have like 120 people on my MSN list. Max I ever have online at one time is about 32-35, and of that maybe 3 will initiate a conversation with me or be proactive, and that really concerns me in terms of just what the actual meaning behind our relationship is, what our relationship is, why they're interested in having the relationship with me. A lot of people I find just want to use me or my skill to be able to help people, which that's fine, but I don't know, maybe being a melancholy I seek more than that. And yeah, I've got a set of expectations and standards on friendship that, whilst flexible, are probably not normal to most people, or more normal than I realise or acknowledge. But I'd like to say to a lot of people that are sitting there, waiting there, dormant, stagnant, that it doesn't hurt to be a little proactive. It doesn't hurt to initiate a few things, to start a few things, to generally share that you care about someone or something. Because if not now, when? I can understand you don't want to ram it down people's throats and you don't want to nag, but if not now, when? If they don't know you care, and they can commit suicide tomorrow, what console will be your grief at their funeral? Nothing. It's easy to let someone know you care. It's easy and it's hard. It's the easiest thing is to just be ignorant and indifferent and apathetic and not give a damn and not care. So I'm gonna say, be proactive, because whilst good things come to those who wait, good things also come to those who know what they want. On a similar topic, especially working with people and groups and teams and dynamics and what, communication is crucial. It's crucial, it's mandatory. You need to be able to communicate it effectively and convey your meaning and your interpretation and whatnot else to people. It's also quite difficult to do adequately and decently so that they can understand your message and it doesn't get jarbled and muscled and blown up in their face and like a big spaghetti vacuum mess of green goo and doom. I love that analogy. But yeah, it's quite difficult, but it's crucial, and if you get it right, it'll be quite beneficial, which is good. And I recommend to put a fair bit of focus on that. And to my AA team, I'd like to get some meeting minutes and a lot of work done considering the amount of work we've got due in soon. Though you'll probably only hear about this until after we've got it all in, so that's the ultimate irony in that as well. AppleManZiglu.net. High quality irony at a cheap price. Well, that depends on how cheap your soul is, but shmeh. I don't particularly want people's souls, but anyhow. Next topic. Cleansing in Gentoo, Feng Shui in Gentoo, going from Sabion to Gentoo, and other such stuff. I've gone and done that, and I've done some cleansing, and the only issue I've had is with multi-lib hiding and GCC exporting for multiple architectures, and trying to get Wine to work. It works if I use an export LD flags hack and export the 32-bit LD flags from the profile for it. And yeah, I should have probably warned the non-technical people you can fall asleep now. Apple's talking about Gentoo and Linux and compiling and multiple architectures and fun, and well, I'm kind of obliged to talk about some technical things, being subscribed to LCA 2007 Planet and having a number of technical readers listening, so yeah. It's good. I'm still wondering what's causing spontaneous freezes and reboots and whatnot else. It's not like it's Windows or anything, it only happens once in a blue moon. And it might be related to RAM, it might be related to the way that kernel builds a kernel, but I think I did custom build my kernel this time, so I'm not particularly sure. But on a much higher note, the Syntec webcam driver is getting better, and to quote Matt on the Gun, it's getting better, getting so much better all the time. Yeah, thanks to Nicholas for that. Thank you very much for your devotion and dedication to the Syntec driver, because you're making it utterly awesome. Even in bad light, I can take photos of myself, which is cool. Okay, next thing, to all those who were lucky enough to receive an invite to my 18th birthday party, and to all those who weren't. You might remember the game we played called Mafia. A minority that knows each other, an unaware majority game. Kind of fun, kind of strategic, kind of hard, kind of intelligent, kind of cross between, well, not Trivial Pursuit, How to Host a Murder, and I don't know, some verbal mind game. It's a great game, and I'm suggesting a reunion. I'm not particularly sure when, I'm not particularly sure who, but I'd love to play Mao and Mafia with a bunch of people if you're interested in playing Mao and Mafia with me. As sus as that might sound, I'm talking about a card game and a vocal murder mystery game, so it's nothing that gross or disgusting. Next topic. With QT doing the whole game development thing and I got a 7-meg email from my QT email about them dropping humanities. I reckon that game development should not be recipe-based. You want to bring back the innovative gameplay and the change in gameplay and the dynamics and the bring back the old-school gameplay. Have a retro revival and then encourage new gameplay, because gamers, whilst defined by game developers, are going to get sick of it eventually. It might take them 300,000 years, but they'll get sick of it eventually. So bring it back. Yeah, I'm probably not as qualified as the lead lecturer, Penny, to talk about it, considering she uses WoW as research, and I don't play WoW because it steals people's lives. But I reckon that a lot can be done to improve the game development area, and I'll probably be going into that area myself later on if I don't get a job with Google Trolltech, and that's just me being ambitious. So yeah, remove the recipe-based games, because it's just boring, and last thing we need is recipe-based developers or programmers either working for Microsoft or some stupid game studio. Also, QUT should not kill the humanities. Humanities are awesome. I'm going to get credit for the Indonesian I did at University of Sunshine Coast. So yeah, I'm stoked about that. Humanities are awesome. QUT has become almost like a degree factory, which is really sad. Well, at least in IT, it's become a Microsoft-sponsored degree factory, and that's really sad. And Everest is dead, and we're compensating it, we're trying it. I'm quite disillusioned about QUT, but that said, a lot of people in the maths faculty that I meet, and a lot of my maths lecturers and my head course coordinator, Helen McGilray, make me very, very happy, because when you feel trapped and alone, like everything is doomed, they put a smile on your face just by mentioning complex mathematics that you're going to need to deal with like next year or next semester. And that really makes me happy. Probably doesn't make many other people happy, and I've probably done way too many geek tests to be considered a normal person, but meh, shmeh. And MySpace is for fail, with the exception of a few people. A few people I know have pretty cool MySpaces. Jono, Kerry, etc., etc. Tyson, his band, Test Theory. Test Theory is awesome. If you get the chance to hear them, please check them out. They're awesome. Anyhow, quick slogan here, quick plug, if you like. Friends don't let friends drink drive. So why do friends let friends use Windows, let alone Windows and Vista? Please, save your friend. Yes, Ubuntu, in terms of the whole Linux thing, is like having a cigarette patch when you're trying to quit, but please, save your friends from Windows, please. Inspired by Bose phobia list, and having few or virtually nil fears myself, I checked out the phobia list at phobialist.com and found fears or Latin and Greek prefixes that interested me. These included from Z to A, just because I can. Tapinophobia, fear of being contagious. Sophophobia, fear of learning. Sociophobia, fear of society or people in general. Phronemophobia, fear of thinking. Panophobia or pantophobia, fear of everything. Nucleomitotophobia, fear of nuclear weapons. Mnemophobia, fear of memories. Maniaphobia, fear of insanity. Hippomonstrososquipedaliliophobia, fear of long words, which is a really long word and is ultimately ironic. Long. Just, oh yeah, on that topic, Big Brother, people on Big Brother are idiots. Anti-disestablishmentarianism is not the longest word in the dictionary, not by the Oxford standards, and it's not the longest pronoun or proper noun. It's not even a real word. It's a double negative, which makes it redundant, and it's essentially rubbish. The word that is the longest word, I can't actually pronounce it, and few can, and it's actually been shortened in the Oxford Dictionary. It's 69 letters long, and the meaning of the word is the lung cancer that you get by breathing in fine dust. The next word probably would be the 96th place name word, or the 99th place name word of somewhere in Ireland. And you can look that up on Google, and you can probably look up the 69 letter word on Google as well. Google for the win. But onwards. Hearsiphobia or herophobia, fears of challenges to the official doctrine or radical deviation. I know a lot of people that suffer from that, especially when they see it manifested in me. Gnosiophobia, fear of knowledge. phobia, fear you're a failure. Athagoraphobia, fear of being forgotten or ignored or forgetting. And atelophobia, fear of imperfection. So yeah, that's a list of cool and interesting fears. May you either not suffer from them or suffer from them. Whatever floats your boat, suits your fancy, rocks your socks, makes the ducks quack. For every zig and great justice. I bumped into a Wilderness Society protester. Protesters seem to love to bump into me. And she talked about, asked my opinion on nuclear-free Australia, and I said, no, I'd like Australia to go nuclear because of SynRock. You've all heard me talk about SynRock before. You can look it up. It essentially does what nature does in order to deal with radiation, and is ultimately why Australia should go nuclear. But, and then she provided another argument, and I provided a counter-argument, then she provided another argument, and I provided a counter-argument. Then, after a few more of this, she then asked what I was studying, and attempted to discredit me and say that I was just quoting everything out of textbooks, and that I've got no passion or enthusiasm for the world. And then we got talking to the possible ways of solving the problem and fixing the problem, and how the ways that she was interested in probably wouldn't be implemented due to the political and legislative nature of Australia and of the world, greater world around us. And I talked about reverting to certain states in history or going back to communal-based societies would probably be the only way to get this implemented. And in order to cause that, you'd have to do something substantial in order to cause that shift, because society just wouldn't do it on its own. And eventually, I came down to my final argument, which I said as I was walking away, because I was already late, and I was supposed to meet people for a group meeting, and that didn't end up happening anyhow, but I said, you want to save the environment? You want to save the wilderness? You want everything to be great? Kill humanity. Humans mess up the environment. Humans wreck the environment. You kill us, nature will have to adapt so the top things on top of the food chain don't overflow, but other than that, the environment and the world around us will be fine. Just kill us all. We'd make really, really, really good fertilizer for the trees and the animals, and we'd just do the world a favor. Kill us all. You want to save the world? Commit mass genocide. It's not the ethical thing to do. It's not even the righteous or moralistic thing to do, but it's one of the possible solutions to the problem. And the problem with implementing stuff like that is the constraints set on by people and society and conditioning and whatnot else, which is really a big issue. And well, yeah, it gets you thinking about the best ways to do this, and I've had a number of conversations with people. Thanks, Andrew Hill, for our conversations on this topic. It's very interesting and intriguing. I'd also like to thank Cheetah for his outspoken and often stupid and critical views on society, and some of the things he pointed out to me on over MSN regarding to people and stupidity. There's also a number of other funny things, like the Verizon exit letter that's on the web that's quite funny. The fact that the nuclear protesters don't support coal either and want to go that way. There's a total number of different things that are ridiculously funny, and you can look them up and use Google and Dig and tools to make you laugh and forget about reality. Okay, I've got no more topics on my list, so I'm going to go on to my impro topics. I've got a whole lot of work to do, and I'm going to be really busy with that. But please, if you want to come and see me or pop in, you know where to find me. I'm probably not going to be in the green room all that often. I've got lots of work to do, but those who've got my number, those who are stalking me, that you know how to find me, or that you know those who know, and who know who can tell you, so you can find me and talk to me, or email me, or give me a buzz, or whatnot else, or just comment on this blog would be nice. Other interesting topics include that we got a new dishwasher and a new stove, and that's pretty cool, and siblings made brownies. I don't eat chocolate brownies. We went up to, up the hill to Mulaney, and I got to meet this guy who's giving away Ubuntu CDs, and I bought Ubuntu DVDs, he's selling them, and I bought two so I could give one to my uncle-in-law, because he's interested in that now. And yeah, and Linux is awesome. Use Linux. In response to the whole three reasons we won't use Linux: Photoshop, CS2, iPod, and Xbox or PS2 controller. This is my response. iPods can run Linux. Not only will they play music, the same music quality that you're looking for, they'll also play Super Mario, Quake, do your calendar notes, do syncing, do a whole bunch of nifty cool stuff. So, yeah. Linux on iPod pones normal Apple firmware. Second, Photoshop CS2 runs perfectly fine under Wine with, at max, a 15% speed decrease when you're in about 3000 zoom. At the time of testing this originally, I was testing Photoshop 7 and had those same effects. I've been given word from Wine HQ and other sources that CS2 runs perfectly fine and smoothly under Wine. Excuse 2, gone. Excuse 3, well, the PS3 that comes out, and PS2 actually, the PS2 dev kit runs Linux, and the PS3 natively runs Linux, and your Xbox can run Linux and do a whole bunch of cool things, especially Xbox Media Center, which a lot of people are doing now. And your 360 will be able to run Linux when the hackers get around to it, so I don't really see your excuse there. It's kind of pathetic. Grow the hell up. Vista is crap, and use Linux. Vista is crap. Well, I can just Google Vista crap. That'll tell you why Vista is crap. I'm not going to go into it here. Other things. I'm going to upgrade to WordPress 2.2 after the release of this blog. Oh, I was introduced by Joe. I met in 006 to his site, thinktree.org. It's a non-profit organization concerned with creating think trees, which are kind of like mind maps. It's like brainstorming, lifting ideas to solve cool problems. I haven't signed up yet or anything, but it seems cool and you should check it out. And I'm plugging it because he said to mention me in, no, him in my audio blog, so I am, but yeah. There's your plug, Joe. Other plugs. Should I plug some other people? Probably not. Oh, I'm glad to catch up with all the people I'm wanting to catch up with, even though it's not face-to-face, it's IM, but I'm going to have to catch up with the face-to-face on the holidays, and that will be great fun. Great fun indeed. So, yeah. If you're interested in the Mafia reunion, or you're interested in anything cool, or you need help with something, or you wanted to get to know me, please contact me. I'm open for that. Yes, I'm as busy as all heck. I'll be juggling about 500 litres of oil and a chainsaw and 3 rhinoceroses and a drunken porcupine named Bert, and Shark's Tale was interesting, as was Leprechaun 4. Warwick Davis is quite interesting, the fact that he played Willow and he played the Leprechaun and he played like all the characters in, like, Flitwick in Harry Potter and the Ewoks in Star Wars. That's like really, really funny. I looked him up on IMDb, which was quite funny and entertaining. Numbers and NCIS for the win. Other shameful plugs I can't think of at the moment. Well, WordPress is one. So, yeah. I'm going to wind it up now because I don't want to bore any more people. And, well, I'm running out of topics and out of time. It's almost 12. It's almost tomorrow. 3 days, 3 minutes till tomorrow. And, yeah, sanctity and happiness and joy and spaghetti la. Best wishes and good luck to everyone. Have fun. My question in this audio blog at the moment is, would you smile like you mean it if it actually meant something to someone? Would you be proactive? Would you admit your fears? Would you live? I know it's more than one question. Or would you live? Would you fight? Would you fight for the right to live? Would you fight for agony? I know it's more than one question, but it's a series of related questions. Would you think? Well, please let me know what you think. Etc. Or don't. Totally ignore my blog and let it be snowed under, only to be discovered 300 years after my death and making me an instant celebrity. That would be wonderful. Either way, have fun. Signing off, Benjamin Southall, Appleman 1234. Best wishes, good luck, smiles, bye. P.S. My poetry and songs are uploaded, if I haven't already said so. Please go check them out and give feedback. Thanks.